Welcome back to another episode of the Tan and the J-Man Show. It is a Monday night. It is NFL draft week, one of our favorite events of the year. Although it feels like the buzz, for me anyway, has been kind of at a minimum. I haven't really heard anything. I haven't really paid attention, to be honest. And usually I'm like locked in. I don't know why that is. Once Thursday rolls around, I will be jazzed up, as the kids say. Do the kids say that?
Sure.
Do the old men like us say that?
I think it's the old men like us, but that's all right.
Yeah. I'm the J-Man. He's Tanner, the T-Dog Lee. How you doing tonight, Tan?
I'm doing well. I think the reason you're probably not as locked in is because your team's in a pretty good spot. Your team's a playoff team, picking in the back half of the draft. Maybe that's why. I don't know.
Maybe. At the same time, though, this is their first round pick in 3 years. It seems like I'd be.
Is it really?
But at the same time, yeah, picking 21st kind of takes the hype away a little bit, and they'll probably go either offense or defensive line, so not overly exciting.
Yeah. Right.
I haven't really paid attention to any rumors, nothing like that. I just kind of want to be surprised. I used to get like real into mock drafts. I know who'd be in the top, 50 players. Now I'm just like, whatever happens.
Yep. Well, I got a mock draft to go over later. Enjoyed doing it this year. Did a little differently. Only did one instead of two or three like have previous years on the podcast. But for the first time ever in my mock, I did trades.
I love it.
So I got some trades. So I'll probably be way off, but that's
okay. Yeah, this draft is poised to have some pretty big movement in the top 10, I think.
I think it could. Of course, I've been pretty locked in because my team needs a quarterback. Even with the move today, trading for Zach Wilson, they still need to add a quarterback.
Hide the moms in Denver.
Yes. Hide the moms in Denver. Well said. I'm glad you said it because I was debating saying that. So I'm glad you said it. But we'll get into that later on. But I do have some birdie or bogey today that is related to the NFL. Not the draft, but the NFL. Can you tell me what NFL quarterback has the most okay, I got to reword this. I'm trying not to look it up. What quarterback has the record for most consecutive touchdowns thrown on the road? NFL history. It was 41 touchdowns.
Most consecutive games with a touchdown on the road?
Consecutive games, yes. So most consecutive games with touchdowns on the road, 41. And I will give you a hint. They played during our lifetime. We've seen them play during our lifetime.
Okay. Birdie Bogey is brought to you by Arlington Public House. Arlington Public House is upscale cuisine with a casual atmosphere, located 703 Main Street, Rochester, Indiana. It is pizza night. I forget their pizza specials. Probably go look it up real quick. I know they had a pickle pizza. They had a few weeks ago. They had a buffalo chicken pizza. They had dill pickle, supreme cheese, pepperoni, and margarita pizza. And then on April 24th, which is this week, Wednesday. Yeah, Wednesday. Yep. Paint your own pottery night at 6 o'clock p.m. at Arlington Public House. You can have a creative evening, paint your piece, order dinner and drinks. It's a great option for a Mother's Day gift. Tickets range from $25 to $45. Covers your chosen piece and supplies. So,
you remember making pottery?
I was the worst. I'll just say I was the worst. I hated getting my hands all clayey, and it looked terrible. I think it's my sister's. I still have like a piece of clay pottery from like elementary school.
Yep.
And mine completely didn't work, which is probably why I stopped taking any sort of art class in like eighth grade. That was like the last year I took an art class.
That was last year I took an art class as well.
Yeah. Not creative. Can't draw. My handwriting's terrible as is.
That's why we're friends. That's why we're friends, because I'm right there with you. I do remember, though, in elementary school, having to make like a clay bowl I think I used that as like a pencil holder, and then having to make a wind chime. I remember having to make wind chimes out of clay one year.
Yeah, I never made the wind chimes. The moment the wind would hit that thing, they'd just shatter. That's that's all I know what would happen.
Yeah, art class was not my strength by any means.
But hey, yeah, it's not our strengths, but it could be other people's strengths. So go out
absolutely. To absolutely. I'm jealous and, by people who are.
I'm sure it'll be. Yeah, I'm very jealous. I think that would be a really fun time if I was any good at it. But
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And neither of us live within an hour. So,
right. Well, we got a lot to cover tonight. We, of course, have the NFL draft. I'll be doing my mock draft. We have baseball talk because the season's not quite a month in, but we're getting there. And we also have NBA talk, which is a subject we don't talk about a lot on the pod, but it is the NBA playoffs. I have watched a little bit. Have you?
No.
No? No. I've watched a little bit. Not a ton, but a little bit. I will say that, I mean, as they should be, and the playoffs so much better regular season.
Oh yeah, I mean the Milwaukee Bucks even tweeted out. did you see that? They go, the first 82 games did not matter. No one cared, and now the real season. And a lot of fans were upset that they posted that. And I'm sure the NBA was not very happy either. Because
it's funny.
Yeah, it is pretty funny because it's very true, honestly.
Well, viewer of the show, Thad Mooney, just texted me with a GIF. You don't like art? Question mark. Didn't say I didn't like art. I'm just not good at it. So, but yeah, NBA playoffs. I mean, every series is only one game down. Any surprises so far?
No, I wouldn't say there has been.
No, I don't think so either.
I think has the top seed won every single game? I don't know about the 4 or 5. That's a coin flip.
Right, but I know the rest they have. I guess one surprise to me yesterday was how bad the Bucks put it on the Pacers without the Greek Freak. I thought the Pacers
without would... the Greek Freak, huh?
Yeah, he's injured.
Right, that's now. Right. He's out for a few weeks.
There's some hope maybe. That he'll come back later in the series, but that's not a guarantee. So I think a lot of Pacer fans went in Philly very confident, not only last night's game, but to get the series. And they could still get the series, but when you shoot the way they did last night, you're not going to beat anybody. Doesn't matter if they have their franchise player or not.
Yeah, Dame, he had 34 or 35 yesterday, which is exactly why Milwaukee picked him up. He's a big game player. He had a pretty funny quote afterwards. He said, past 2 years, I was at Coachella right now, and now it's very nice to not be at Coachella. So he stepped up in a big way. Halliburton, since the All-Star break, has not been very good, honestly. He was obviously all-world heading into the All-Star game, and he had a great All-Star game. But it seems like he'd struggled a little bit since then. Pacers have a good team, though. It's probably their best chance to win a series they've had in maybe 10 years. Maybe not 10 years, but
I would say last night was their first like real meaningful game in like 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. But they shot 8 for 38 for 3-point range, 21%. That's not going to get done. The Bucks were 14 for 37. And in front of the field, the Pacers were 36 for 91.
40%. That's not good. Yeah.
So, yeah.
They won. Especially in the NBA. When there's so
pretty even. Yeah.
So many shot makers in the NBA. You shoot less than 50% from the floor, you're going to have a real hard time winning ball games in the NBA.
I guess I was surprised that the Clippers beat Dallas by 12 yesterday.
Yeah, that was without Paul. That was without Kawhi, which is not overly shocking because he's hurt all the time. But Minnesota took it to did they play Phoenix?
Yeah.
Yeah, it took it to Phoenix because Anthony Edwards had some nice trash talk for Durant. Edwards is the future of the NBA. He is – I'm not calling him Jordan, but he's, I think, the closest thing to Jordan we've had since Jordan retired as far as athleticism, shot-making ability, trash talk. He is the future of the league, in my opinion.
I would argue that LeBron – is the few closest thing since Jordan, but
I'm just saying as far as the way their game is, LeBron obviously is the closest thing to Jordan as far as impact and all of that. but like their game wise, their size, they're about the same size. Athleticism, even the moves they make is very Jordan-esque, if you will. Okay. Which I'd seen that all over Twitter, so I'm kind of piggybacking off of that because after watching highlights of him, it's eerily similar almost.
Yeah.
To the way Jordan played.
Well, tonight we have three games tonight. Got the Magic on the road at Cleveland. Cleveland leads that series 1-0. Who do you like in that one?
That's Cleveland.
Yeah, they're 5.5-point favorites. I like the Cavs as well. That's a weird series because those two teams have struggled for many years, and here they are. Sixers in a 1-0 deficit at Knicks tonight. Knicks are 4.5-point favorites.
Don't know if Embiid's going to play.
Imagine
that. He had a knee injury. That looked like it was going to be out for the season, have total reconstruction, then he's fine. But who knows if he'll play today. But give me the Knicks. Knicks are quite a bit better than Philadelphia.
And then got the Nuggets, 7.5-point favorites at home against the Lakers. Nuggets have won 9 straight against the Lakers.
Yeah. Lakers can't hang. The Nuggets let them hang around a little bit, but then they imposed their will.
Yeah, they did.
Used to dislike Nikola Jokic, honestly, because you liked him so much. I'll admit it. Now, he's probably my favorite player in the NBA.
He's a great personality. He's fun to watch.
Yeah, and he could not care. He does care, obviously. Yeah. But he acts like he doesn't care. He'd prefer to be home, which I don't blame him. An interesting stat here. He touched the ball 96 times. In game one, turned it over 0 times. That's incredible.
That's stupid.
That's absolutely incredible. And he is, that's why he's won 2 straight MVPs.
Two or last 3. They gave Embiid it last year, but he'll probably win another one this year. He'll probably win 3 of the last 4.
Which is crazy because you look at a guy like that and his body type and you wonder how.
Mid-second round pick.
There was a former GM who was talking over the weekend. I can't remember his name. Said, I don't remember a single conversation about him in the draft process, which I'm sure a lot of teams probably said the same thing. And Nuggets got awfully fortunate that they took him. But, hey, they obviously saw something.
You know, in second round NBA draft, how a lot of times they'll continue on with the picks during commercials.
Mm-hmm.
His draft pick came up during a Taco Bell commercial. It wasn't even like they were live feed with them coming up with highlights or anything.
Yet, a lot of times, at least back in the day, I don't know if it's still a thing now, they would take a lot of like Europeans or foreign born players and stash them overseas for a few years and hope they develop and then bring them over.
Yep.
But that obviously wasn't the case.
Nope. Not with him. And Tuesday night, well, I guess we can go series by series. So, going into tonight's game, do you like the Cavaliers, Knicks, and Nuggets to eventually win those series?
Yeah. I think the Lakers will win 1 or 2. Kind of put the pressure on a little bit, but Nuggets are so much better. I mean, you have Jamal Murray, and it's crazy that Michael Porter Jr. is playing at the level he's playing with how the crap he's had to deal with here with his
– oh, my gosh.
Yeah, his brother Jonte, for one, being banned for life for gambling.
Yep.
And then his other brother just sentenced to 8 years in prison in a car accident that he caused that killed somebody.
Yes.
And he keeps going out there, and he's a good player.
Oh, he is. When he stays healthy, he's good. Mm-hmm. And then they've just got guys that have adapted to their role, like Aaron Gordon. Caldwell Pope.
Mm-hmm.
They're a team. Even the other night when Joker had to go to the bench, DeAndre Jordan comes in and just fits right in. I mean, it's just guys know their role and they sacrifice for winning, and the Lakers aren't that. Lakers aren't that at all. So, Pacers, like I said, down 1-0. They are 1.5-point underdogs tomorrow night at the Fiserv Forum against the Bucks. Who do you ultimately like in that series?
I think that'll go 6 or 7. Not having Giannis will obviously hurt a little bit, but I just think the Bucks are a little better. And the fact that they won the first one, Pacers really need to steal this one.
I'm right there with you.
So
I think the Bucks will ultimately win the series. I think Pacers really needed game one. I mean, I know it's a 7-game series, but it's tough to. It's probably tougher actually in the NHL playoffs than NBA playoffs to play from behind, mm-hmm. but you don't want to dig yourself in a hole. And then also got Suns at Timberwolves tomorrow night and Mavericks at Clippers.
Yeah, give me Minnesota and the Clippers in that.
I think Dallas ultimately wins that series.
Okay.
But they're going to have to get it tomorrow night. If they go down 2-0, then they're in trouble.
Yeah.
Then Wednesday night, Heat are at Celtics, which the Celtics are 14.5-point favorite.
Yeah, I mean, they whooped them, Miami Heat, the other
night. They're talking trash, too. They're talking big-time trash. They're backing up.
Yeah, the play-in games are dumb, and I think they need to end that experiment because the higher seed ends up going anyway, and then you're playing an extra game and Jimmy Butler gets hurt.
Yep.
With an MCL injury, and he's not probably going to play at all this series. I can't imagine he'll play this series. So I think Celtics in four.
Yeah, I do too. And then you got the Pelicans at the Thunder, and the Pelicans about stole game one.
Yeah, that would have been huge for them without Zion too, who's again one of those guys that is always hurt. Oklahoma City's a fun team, young team. They kind of came onto the scene last year. They only won 40 games last year, but they hung in there in the play-in games at least. I don't know if they won the play-in game to get in or if they even made the play-in game now that I think about it. But Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's also getting a little bit of MVP buzz. They have a really good young team around Jalen Williams. Chet Holmgren's been fantastic. Lou Dort is one of the best defenders in the league. Give me Oklahoma City in that one.
Yep. I like that too. How about your finals prediction? Who do you think comes out of East and who comes out of West?
East, I'm going to stick with Boston. I think they are the best team top to bottom. I think their acquisition in the offseason of Drew Holiday was fantastic. One of the best defensive point guards in the league, good passer, can hit big shots, played in a lot of big games too. And I think that sets them apart from where they were last year. And then you add, Tatum and Jaylen Brown there. And then you have Derek White. Very good. And Kristaps Porzingis for that matter. Very good team. Hoping for a little bit of maybe not a little bit of new blood because I do like the Nuggets in there. I wouldn't be upset if Minnesota or Oklahoma City made it just to get somebody new in there. But ultimately, I think the Nuggets are better than both of them. And I think we see the Nuggets in there. What seed did the Nuggets get? Were they the one seed again?
Two. The They're Thunder and one.
Okay. And I know Minnesota's right there as well.
They're the three.
It was all
You know one team that was really cruising for a while this year, then tanked, was the Kings.
Yeah. Yeah. Who'd they lose to? They lose to New Orleans? Is that who they lost to?
Yeah, but they were really cruising for a long time.
Yeah, they were a top, two or three seed for a majority of the year, and they just flatlined.
Yeah. Yeah. I think one of my bold predictions was that I named like five different teams. I don't remember them off the top of my head. I think it was Kings, Clippers, Thunder, Timberwolves, and then there was like one other team would win the NBA Finals. Mm-hmm. So with that said, though, I think I'm in agreement with you about the Celtics, but I'm not going to pick them just because I don't want to agree completely. So I'm going to take the Knicks. Could you imagine that in our lifetime seeing the Knicks make the finals or in our lifetime when social media is around, brutal. I guess?
Just miserable.
So I'll take the Knicks out of the East. And then the West, I'll stick with the Nuggets. I think the Nuggets ultimately get it done and repeat as champions.
Yeah. I agree with you. I think the Nuggets get it done. But this if it is a Nuggets-Celtics final, I think that has potential to be an all-timer.
It's interesting when you think about the NBA. I would say past the top three seeds in each league, I don't know if I give 4 through 8 a chance.
No. I know last year Miami was the 8, right? And they went all the way to the finals, which is
– Yeah, they got hot.
It never happened before. They did get hot. And they had some fortunate things bounce their way too. I don't see I definitely don't see Cleveland, Orlando, Indiana, Miami, or Philadelphia. Philadelphia's – more interesting than I think those other teams because they have Joel Embiid.
But their window closed a couple years ago, I would say.
They're getting bad minutes from Tobias Harris. They're not that good anymore. But at the very least, I think the Knicks might be a little scared of them more than they would be any of those other teams.
Yeah. It's probably good for the NBA when the Knicks are good. to be honest, we just haven't seen it in a long time.
Yeah.
This is the highest they've been seeded since 2013, I believe, playoffs, when the Pacers beat them, which Roy Hibbert blocked Carmelo at Gamebridge going up for a dunk. That was kind of the key highlight of that series. But, yeah, it's been a while. Been a while since Knicks have been good. So we'll keep tabs on it. This is the one time a year, NBA playoffs, when we talk some NBA. Maybe around draft season this year, since Zach Edey and Terrence Shannon Jr. are going to try to make the NBA. So,
yeah, it's everything I've read on Twitter, it's one of the weakest drafts in years. So, very, very good year for Zach Edey to have the best year of his career.
Yeah.
Doesn't hurt. Same with Shannon. And I think Coleman Hawkins got taken in the second round, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we'll keep tabs on all the Big Ten guys. But really, we're just waiting for the Sonics to come back before we dive into NBA coverage.
That's right.
The Sonics. We got to figure out if they're Sonics or Supersonics.
I hope it's Supersonics. Bring back the old school logo. Make Sean Kemp the mascot.
Hey, that guy's still kicking. He shows up to events and stuff. He's got life back on track.
So he can probably still dunk on some fools, too.
I don't know about that. Yeah, probably. Maybe. But do you want to get educated?
Let's do it.
Let's talk about some sporting events that have happened on this day on April 22nd. On this day in 1876, the first official National League Baseball game was played. The Boston Red Caps beat the Philadelphia Athletics 6-5 at the Jefferson Street Grounds in Philadelphia.
Baseball.
On this day in 1903, the New York Highlanders, now known as Yankees, had their first MLB game. They lost 3-1 before 11,950 people versus the Washington Senators at American League Park. On this day, 1914, Babe Ruth played his first professional game as a pitcher. It was a 6-hit, 6-0 win for Babe. Also on this day, 1915, the Yankees donned the pinstripes and hat in the ring logo for the first time ever.
First time ever, huh?
Yep.
I've been wearing those pinstripes for 109 years.
Yep. On this day, 1947, the first Basketball Association of America finals took place. The Philadelphia Warriors beat the Chicago Stags 83-80 to take the inaugural series 4-2. On this day, 1954,
I think NBA I would have been a diehard Stags fan back in the day.
Stags, Chicago Stags. On this day, 1954, the NBA adopted a 24-second shot clock and 6-team foul rule. Still understand all the fouls.
What year was that?
1954. I still don't understand how the team foul situation works in the NBA, but that's okay.
Not me either.
Let's see. What else do we got here? On the day 1966, the Atlanta Braves won their first game, beating the New York Mets 8-4. Oh, here's a good one. On this day in 1990, who was the first pick in the NFL draft?
1990. Was that Jeff George?
It was Jeff George. 1 year at Purdue University, then 3 years at the University of Illinois, first pick by the Indianapolis Colts. On this day in 1995, who was the first pick in the NFL draft?
Curtis Enos.
Kajana Carter out of Penn State, taken by the Cincinnati Bengals.
That's actually who I meant, honestly. But
sorry. On this day, 2003, Patrick Waugh played his final career NHL game. He was a legend for the he was a legend for the Canadiens and then the Avalanche. And then he was Avalanche coach for a couple years, didn't go so well. And now he's doing really well for the New York Islanders. Got them into playoffs as the 3 seed. So on this day in 2010, who was the first pick in the NFL draft?
2010 was that That's Sam Bradford.
That was Sam Bradford of the then St. Louis Rams. And that's going to do it for the On This Day segment this week, which is brought to you by, like it is every week, Mooney Woodcrafts. Mooney Woodcrafts is a veteran-owned and operated woodcraft shop based out of Texas with Indiana grassroots. They provide 100% hand-cut custom designs to fit your needs, and their pieces are a great addition to any home, office, or man cave. You can see some of their recently completed projects by visiting them at Mooney Woodcrafts on Instagram and on Facebook. And if you let them know the Tan and J-Man show sent you, you get 15% off your first signed order. Mother's Day's right around the corner. Father's Day's right around the corner. After that, make the perfect gift for your mother or your father. Get your sign orders in. Thad can make whatever you want, from sports signs to military signs to wedding signs, family signs, growth charts, all sorts of things. So get a hold of Thad. Tell him the Tan and J-Man show sent you. 15% off your first sign order.
Speaking of St. Louis football, the St. Louis Battlehawks, are they in the USFL or is it the XFL?
It's the UFL, the XFL, UFL. And the USFL combined this year. Oh, UFL, one league.
Gotcha. Every other team's been averaging about 8,000 to 10,000 fans, and the Battlehawks have been averaging about 40,000. So they're showing up.
They didn't show up for the Rams at the end of the day.
They didn't. So
I went in 2013, saw the Rams shellack the Broncos, and it was half Bronco fans in there.
Yeah.
That was an awful stadium down there. But at one time, they had the greatest show on turf with Kurt Warner and Marshall Faulk and Isaac Bruce and Torrey Holt. They were fun to watch.
They were fun to watch.
But yeah. Well, you want to talk some baseball real quick before get into a bunch of draft talk?
Yeah, baseball, as we said, it's about 4 weeks old. On Thursday, it'll be four.
Still
weeks
probably old. Too early to start naming contenders and pretenders.
Yeah, I would agree with that sentiment.
But there's a handful of teams I'd say that their season's over already.
Chicago White Sox being one of them.
Oh, my goodness.
They are 12 and a half games out, 21
their
games.
Offense
into the
is
season.
So bad.
They have been shut out at least 7 times through 21 games. At least 7 times. I might be lowballing it a little bit. Reinsdorf's got to go. Somebody's got to do something to get him out of there. Because it is putrid. They had 93 people through the turnstiles game one of a doubleheader last week. The most talked about item this year has been their campfire milkshake they're selling. Not even about the team.
What's in that?
I think they call it campfire. It's a s'mores milkshake, essentially.
Oh, okay.
Marshmallow and chocolate, and it looks really good. And I'm honestly debating whether I want to go and try one. Not just show up, go through the turnstile, get a milkshake, come home. Not watching the game. But yeah, White Sox are done, and honestly, they don't have anything to sell either. So it's not.
Have you ever watched a game there?
I have not been there.
Maybe you should go to the Cubs White Sox this year. Might be able to get it pretty dirt cheap.
They'll probably still be expensive, but it'll be would say 75% Cubs fans at least, depending on how the Cubs are doing at that point, which they should be okay. White Sox are one team that's done. Rockies are 5-17. They're done.
Did you see how they won over the weekend? I think it was yesterday, actually.
I saw that it looked like a walk-off homer, but they called it an out because of fan interference.
Yes. That would have won the game. So then went to extras. They end up winning anyways. But yeah, it's just that was so anyway, okay. It was unbelievable. Yeah.
It really was. It really is. Marlins are probably done. They're 6-17, although Cubs had a very disappointing 4-game split over the weekend, due to some bad bullpen pitching from the Cubs, but I'll talk about them in a few minutes. Houston Astros are 7-16.
And I'm not gonna count them out yet.
I'm not counting them out. They come to Wrigley, and I hate that they're coming to Wrigley after getting swept by the terrible Washington Nationals. So I think Verlander's going. They're way too good of a team to continue being 7-16. Now, the rest of that division hasn't played that well either. The defending champs, Rangers, are 12-11. So Houston's only five out, but they haven't pitched well. They haven't hit. They're not playing very good baseball. But again, way too good of a team to count them out already. Oakland's actually ahead of them in the standings at 8-14, but I will count them out. So, and the Angels, I'll count them out too. Everyone in the AL East is over 500. Yankees are 15-7. They're good. Baltimore's 14-7. They're good. Boston's 13-10. Won't think that'll last. They haven't played all that great here the past week or so, and I think they're starting to wake up a little bit. Blue Jays 12-10. Rays are 12-11. All kind of jumbled there within 3.5 games. New York Yankees today, Aaron Boone.
Oh, my God.
That was one of the most hilariously bad ejections I've ever seen. The situation was Boone was probably whining, honestly.
Yeah, he was chirping. He was chirping earlier.
It was the second batter of the game, and he's already chirping. And he has a reputation of being a whiner to begin with. Sure. He gets kicked out of more games than anyone these days. And he stopped talking. Somebody in the stands right next to the dugout yells at the ump, and the ump kicks Boone out of the game. And he's like, I said nothing. He went out there. Yeah. I said absolutely nothing. After that, I was completely done. But again, his reputation precedes him, and that's probably
in the open. I don't care who said it.
Yeah, you're gone. Like,
okay. Is it just me though, or umpires making it more about themselves lately than ever before?
Yeah, they in Major League Baseball, the officials, the umpires of that, have the biggest ego out of any professional sport. The NBA is pretty close. Their officials can have huge egos, yeah, guys like Angel Hernandez, they're protected by a union. So guys like Angel Hernandez continue to be the worst at their profession. Hernandez, his success rate of calling balls and strikes is like 78%. The major league average is 94% this year. He has been brutal. He missed almost all of last year with a health issue. So he took some time off, and he's back, and he's worse than ever. And it's getting to the point where Major League Baseball has to step in, has to deal with the ramifications from the umpires union and just can him, because he is starting to almost fix games. And I know he's not fixing them, but they have to do something. I've been on the robot umps forever. They're doing it down in AAA where you can even challenge balls and strikes, where you just raise your hand if you want to challenge, and it's called within half a second. And they have that technology, and for some reason, Rob Manfred has been reluctant to implement that into the Major League game. And they should, because these guys are affecting the outcomes of games. And no umpire, official, referee should ever impact the outcome of a game. The player should be doing that. And in baseball, it is becoming a huge problem. Now, the younger umpires, they are very good. So the younger guard coming up have been very good as far as calling balls and strikes. But it's the old guys that are just terrible, and you look at them wrong and they'll kick you out, because that's the way it used to be. And they have massive egos, and they need to filter these guys out and get some younger guys in who are better. So, but yeah, that was bad. And honestly, the umpire should get suspended for that, but he won't. Major League Baseball won't do anything. It was funny though. The guy in the stands who said it was wearing a blue pullover, and he took it off so they wouldn't recognize him, like he wasn't on camera already. Yeah, pretty funny. And if I was a Yankee fan, I would have been really ticked off about it today.
Oh, it made me laugh. Don't get me wrong, but I'm like, this is the worst ejection I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
It was just funny because the S Network cameras were on him the whole time, and you could see he wasn't saying anything at the time when he got kicked out.
So. Elsewhere around the sport, the Cleveland Guardians are 16-6. This is the most wins they've had through this amount of games since the last year they won the World Series, which I believe was 1954.
As you say, it's in the 50s, yeah.
Which is crazy they're doing it, because on paper, their pitching's really good. Their offense is not good. Then they lost their top starter, Shane Bieber, and they keep winning. So it'll be interesting to see how long that lasts. Kansas City Royals are hanging in there because they're pitching so well. Tigers are over 500. Twins, who are projected to win the division, are 7-13, and they're already 8 games out. So it's going to be a an uphill climb. Now, that's the one division where you can claw your way back in it. So I'm not going to count them out yet. NL East, Braves are winning it. Phillies are right on their tail. Mets, after starting horrendously to start the year, have won 12 of their last 16 games to I'm going to say stay in it, but there's so many games left that you're in it, even at 9 games out at this point. White Sox are done. I'll say that. NL Central, Brewers are 14-6, Cubs 13-9, Reds 12-9. Pirates, who started hot, are now 11-11, so they woke up earlier than they did last year. I'm going to count them out. They're done. Cardinals 9-13, only team in the division under 500. It feels like the Cardinals' reign's a little over. They're old. Their pitching staff has a bunch of old veterans that no longer get people out. Paul Goldschmidt's older. Nolan Arenado's older. They're not hitting. Their farm system's not that great. So could get early or could get late pretty early there in St. Louis, which does not break my heart. Hopefully it happens.
And it's interesting because I always, throughout the last, 15, 20 years, I always compared the Patriots, the Spurs, and the Cardinals. Just consistently good. The time, rebuild, consistently good. And they all three have kind of just fallen off at the same time.
Yeah, at the same time. Mm-hmm. That is, they are very similar, kind of business-like.
Yep.
Not overly exciting ever, nope. But they just they got annoying. The job done. I know the Patriots had some good years, but.
Yeah, they'd be annoyingly
had
good.
Had some fun teams, but NL West, Dodgers just lost 2-3 to Washington over the week, last week. And then I think they lost 2-3 to the Mets, or maybe they took 2-3. I don't know. Anyway, they lost at least one game to the Mets. And they've kind of scuffled out of the gate, but I saw a tweet. It was something like Dodgers will go like 14-13 in the month of April, and then they'll go 80-6 over like the next 3 months, and then they'll lose in the playoffs early, something like that. Because they're way too talented to continue to not play that well. So they'll go on some sort of tear, and by the end of May, they'll probably be 10 games up or something like that. Padres 500, Diamondbacks 11-12, Giants 10-13. As I said, Rockies 5-17. But going back to the Cubs a little bit, had a good West Coast trip, 9-game West Coast trip. They went 5-4. Anytime you can go over 500 on the West Coast is huge. Injuries are starting to creep up a little bit. Talked about Seiya Suzuki. Last week he's out. Now you have Ian Happ banged up a little bit. Their bullpen's terrible. Albert Ausley was fantastic last year. He's already blown 4 saves through the first 3.5 weeks, including giving up a 2-run bomb in the 9th inning to the Marlins that ultimately cost them the game. Cubs starting pitching. Shota Imanaga's been fantastic. He's by far the leader in Rookie of the Year right now. He's 3-0 with a .84 ERA. Javier Assad's been great. Kyle Hendricks, it's about time to old yeller him, unfortunately. he's made 5 starts, ERA of 12, 21 innings pitched, 37 hits given up. You give him maybe 2 to 3 more, see if he can right the ship. If he can't, you can't continue to throw him out there. So it's a pretty sad ending to his career with the Cubs, but hey, everyone gets old. Cubs need more length from their starters. Only 2 guys have gone 6 innings this year. That's Shota and Javier Assad. So. Other than that, they're in a pretty good spot. Their schedule's getting brutal coming up. They have Houston, and then they go to Fenway, and then they go to New York Mets. So hopefully they can just kind of stay afloat until the schedule lightens up in April.
A lot of season left. But it is interesting seeing what teams are already doing better than we projected and what teams are doing a lot worse. So.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Anything else around the MLB?
Got nothing.
All right. Well, I don't know what your pick six segment.
My pick six is the 6 quarterbacks that are likely to be the first 6 taken. So I don't know if you want to do this first or do you want to do it after your mock draft. It's up to
you. I'll do the mock draft first because we'll see where these quarterbacks land that are on your list. First pick in the NFL draft this year, there's no surprise. Chicago Bears are going to be taking USC quarterback Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
They already made a decision weeks ago to ship Justin Fields to the Steelers. So that made their decision going with Caleb. Looks like a can't miss prospect on paper. We've seen that before, though. Mm-hmm. He is a little arrogant at times. But if this works out, it will change the Bears franchise for years and years to come. If it doesn't, they're going to always think of what could have been if they kept Justin Fields instead.
Yeah, it's a terribly kept secret that he's going to be the first guy taken. I mean, Ryan Poles, their GM's son, already has Caleb Williams as his background on his phone.
There you go.
And it sounds like Wednesday, the Bears are going to hold a press conference to announce a stadium plans for Lakefront Stadium. So
I do think the Bears will come out of this draft more exciting than they've been in a long time.
They need a little bit of swagger and Caleb Williams' arrogance. So
Number two, this is where it gets interesting, I think, already. Mm-hmm. Number two pick with the Washington Commanders. I definitely think they go quarterback, but it's like, who do they go? Do they go Drake May from North Carolina, Jaden Daniels from LSU, or J.J. McCarthy from Michigan, who's starting to creep up the board for a lot of people? I have them taking Drake May out of North Carolina. Don't know why. I just feel like he fits there a little better. I think he can be Dan Quinn's Matt Ryan. Number three, New England Patriots. I know some people say, you know, the Patriots have said they're open for business, trading back. I think they go quarterback. I think they go Jaden Daniels for LSU, Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah, Jaden Daniels is one of those guys that he absolutely murdered lower-level opponents last year and did not play all that great against the big boys. So Jaden Daniels, he flew up draft boards, and I think he's the kind of quarterback that gets you fired.
Oh, he could, definitely. I think he's got a – he's probably the scariest one out of all the projected first-round picks because he could, got a high ceiling but a low floor. So
yeah. He'll definitely – I'd be surprised if he's not in that top three, either Washington or New England there.
Number four, I have the Cardinals staying put. A lot of people have them trading back. I think at the end of the day, they decide, you know what? We can go get our next Larry Fitzgerald and get Marvin Harrison Jr. from Ohio State.
Yeah, pretty similar players, honestly. It seems like people started talking trash a little bit about Harrison moving him down boards. I think it's just because he was so good for so long at Ohio State that for whatever reason, there's more tape out there. People just kind of get sick of him and they start moving him down. And it'd be really stupid for a guy like him to fall out of the top 10, which I don't think he'd fall out of the top 10. But Arizona would be very smart to take him at four.
Yeah, I mean, Kyler Murray, this might be his last year in Arizona. Not sure, but give him a weapon.
Yeah.
You know, another weapon round, see what he can do. And even if, okay, Kyler's not your guy, whoever your next guy is, he's got a great weapon, assuming Marvin Harrison Jr. becomes what we all think he's going to become.
Yeah.
So a good friend of the show, Aaron Lynch, who's a Colts fan, he really wanted me to mock the Colts moving way up and taking Harrison Jr. I'm like, they don't have the ammo. He goes, oh, they could trade three first-round picks. I'm like, well, that would do it, but that'd be really stupid.
That'd be really stupid for a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Nice idea there, Lynch. Good Lord.
he goes, Ursa would do it, but Ballard wouldn't. So he might got a point there. Number five, I got my first trade of the draft. I have the Los Angeles Chargers trading the number five pick to the Minnesota Vikings. Jim Harbaugh decides where his former Michigan quarterback goes, and the Vikings take J.J. McCarthy.
I do think Minnesota will absolutely trade up for a quarterback. They obviously need one because I think they signed Sam Darnold, didn't they, in the offseason?
Yes, they did, yep.
He might be a placeholder for four games, and your rookie's going to come in. So it'll be interesting because they could absolutely trade up to two. Which would be fascinating if they do that to see who they'd take. They might still take J.J. McCarthy if they trade up to two.
You think Washington would trade out two?
They have a lot of needs that aren't this quarterback. I think they'd be stupid to trade out of two, but Washington's been a dumb franchise for years. So
Knows. Well, the Vikings have two first round picks and they would both go to Chargers in return for this. So number six, got the New York Giants. They've been a team too rumored to maybe take a quarterback. I think it's a bluff. I don't think they're going to do it. I think they're going to give Daniel Jones one more shot And then his backup's Drew Lock, a one-year deal. Yeah. But I think they get Daniel Jones some help and Malik Nabers, wide receiver from LSU.
Yeah, the whole quarterback talk's got to be – I mean, it's a smokescreen to see if somebody will try to trade with them so they can trade back for sure.
Yep. Yep. Number seven, Tennessee Titans. Pretty boring team. Mm-hmm. They need a lot of help. I think they get the best offensive lineman in the draft, Joe Alt from Notre Dame. Number eight, Atlanta Falcons. About every mock draft has this guy falling at eight to Atlanta, and that's edge rusher from Alabama, Dallas Turner.
Mm-hmm. I think that offense will be pretty dang good in Atlanta, but they need some defensive help.
Yep. I checked. I think I've mocked a edge rusher to Atlanta like the past 3 or 4 years, and it hasn't happened. So maybe this is the year it happens.
This is the year.
Number nine, Chicago Bears. Yes, they have two top 10 picks this year. I have seen people say they could drop back from the ninth spot, which they could, but I think they get Caleb Williams a weapon in Rome Adunze out of Washington.
I mean he could honestly be the first wide receiver taken. Now, this is such a deep draft with wide receivers that getting Caleb Williams, Rome Adunze, pair him with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, and that offense looks a whole lot different on Friday.
And Cole Kmet as tight end.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're talking about probably
Khalil Herbert too, running back. So
most exciting Bears offense ever.
Ever on paper.
I mean, even in their Super Bowl days, it was Walter was pretty much their offense, but then they had great defense.
Yeah.
So number 10, the New York Jets. They're not going quarterback. They got Aaron Rodgers for a year, assuming his Achilles can hold up. But they're going to give Aaron Rodgers a weapon in Brock Bowers, tight end from Georgia.
I'd hate that.
Yeah.
Absolutely hate that.
I'd love to see him fall to 12 because if the Broncos don't go quarterback, I'd love to – they need a tight end pretty bad.
He is a potential elite tight end.
Yep. Number 11, that's where I have the Chargers. They get the 11th pick because they traded their number 5 pick with the Vikings. This is going to test my pronunciation ability. I haven't taken – Olu Fashanu, I believe is how you pronounce his last name.
Sure.
Office tech for Pitt State. So, I probably butchered that. But number 12, I have the Denver Broncos trading the 12th pick with the Philadelphia Eagles. So they would get the Eagles 22nd pick in the first round and the Eagles second round pick because they do not have a second round pick. That's why I think they fall back to try to get some more picks as well. I have the Eagles taking cornerback Terrion Arnold from Alabama.
Hello.
Number 13, Las Vegas Raiders. Another team not a lot of people are talking about that could move up into the top 10, especially if they want a quarterback. They did sign Gardner Minshew. They have Aiden O'Connell returning. Don't know if Antonio Pierce is sold on either of those guys. I think they take quarterback. I think they take Michael Penix Jr. from Washington.
All right. Yeah. Hard to believe just 3 years ago watching Penix for Indiana. I know he was good at Indiana. I'll give him that. But to think he'd be a first-round pick, I would have laughed in your face.
Oh, I know. I'm right there with you. Number 14, New Orleans Saints. I have them getting some offensive line help with Talese Wegawa, offensive tackle from Oregon State. Which it wouldn't shock me if he goes in top 10. I see a lot of people have him in top 10, but I had him sliding back a little bit. Yeah.
Saints are the boringest team in the NFL.
They are really boring.
It's terrible.
They're really boring. Number 15, Indianapolis Colts. They could be a candidate to move up or move back. Ballard loves getting picks. But I have him getting some edge rush help there, getting edge rusher Jared Verse from Florida State.
You can't have too many edge rushers.
No,
just
ask
the Dolphins and who they were pulling up off the street for that playoff game against the Chiefs.
Number 16, Seattle Seahawks. Another team that's kind of boring.
Yeah.
New coach, though. New regime out there. No more Pete Carroll. I have them give some protection for Geno Smith and Troy Fatanu, offensive tackle from Washington. Number 17, Jacksonville's Jaguars. I was between wide receiver and defensive back here. I went with defensive back because the AFC South is loaded up on wide receivers all over the place. So I think they get Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo.
Toledo's going to have a first-round pick.
Yeah, right? They should. He's a long, lengthy guy. He's mocked in the first round of pretty much every mock draft out there. So
Timmy Beckman's happy.
Number 18, the Cincinnati Bengals. Get a guy that honestly probably won't be there at 18. But that's how it fell on my board. Byron Murphy, the second defense tackle from Texas. A lot of people think he could be the first defensive player drafted. So.
Yeah.
Number 19, the Los Angeles Rams. First time they've had a first round pick since 2016. they get possibly the best edge rusher in the draft, according to a lot of NFL scouts, and Latu. I think that's how you from UCLA. I don't know. That's I'm
hoping he falls to 21 on Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah. Number 20, Pittsburgh Steelers get some offensive line help from Russell Wilson or Justin Fields and Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle from Oklahoma. Number 21, Miami Dolphins. I have them getting some defensive line help with your boy, Jazon Newton.
Johnny Newton. Yeah. Lewis Wilkins. He's been a guy that I've kind of wanted because he wreaks absolutely havoc in the backfield, especially from the defensive tackle positions. Kind of Aaron Donald light a little bit coming out of college. Obviously, he's not Aaron Donald. Donald's one of the greatest players to ever play, but his ability to rush the passer. Dolphins could absolutely do that. Could go edge rusher, could go offensive line, could get him, could get to a third pass catcher. Could cornerback. There's so many different spots they could go. And I saw today that their GM, Chris Greer, only put 21 first round grades on players this year. So, wow. So they're in a spot where they could definitely take one.
Number 22, that's where I have the Denver Broncos selecting since they traded with the Philadelphia Eagles. Even though they got Zach Wilson today, I got him going quarterback, Bo Nix from Oregon. Crazy thing is, Bo Nix is the same age as Zach Wilson.
That is wild. Yeah, thinking about watching Bo Nix when he was at Auburn and thinking, there's no way this guy's a first-round pick.
Yep.
The top six quarterbacks on yours are the six quarterbacks in my picks.
Okay. The other quarterbacks, I think the next tier, you got Spencer Rattler. You got Tyler Pratt, I believe his name is, from Tulane. Those are kind of the next two probably after these six. So number 23, I have the Chargers there via trade with the Vikings. I got them getting arguably the fastest wide receiver in the draft, Adonai Mitchell from Texas. Mm-hmm. He's one I thought about maybe for the Dolphins. But
I don't want him. He sounds like work ethic issues from what I've heard.
Good. Real ship fast. Him out to L.A. then. Ship him out to L.A. 24, the Dallas Cowboys. I have them getting the offensive guard, the first guard off the board, and Graham Barton from Duke. 25, the Packers. I have them getting a guy that you and I are very familiar with, Cooper DeJean, cornerback from Iowa. Good special team list, too.
Yeah, good returner.
26, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I have them getting – this is a great defensive back class, by the way. I have them getting a cornerback, Nate Wiggins, out of Clemson. 27 Arizona Cardinals. I have them getting edge rusher Chop Robinson. What a name from Penn State.
It's awesome.
28 the Bills. They definitely need wide receiver help now. I got them getting Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU.
Yeah, that'd be an absolute steal if he fell that far.
I know.
Kick me off.
I know. I'm probably way off there. But number 29, the Lions. I have them getting the best name in the first round of my mock draft, Kool-Aid McKinstry. Cornerback from Alabama.
Kool-Aid. What's your favorite flavor, Kool-Aid? I haven't had Kool-Aid in 20 years.
I haven't either. Grape.
I like the grape. I like the green, too.
Yeah. Man, I haven't had Kool-Aid in at least 20 years either.
I'm going to do a grocery pickup tomorrow and get some Kool-Aid.
My wife. Number 30. You'll be fine. Number 30, the Baltimore Ravens. I have them getting some offensive line help for Lamar and offensive tackle J.C. Latham. From Alabama. So Alabama kind of down year for them, but still they lost in the playoffs down year.
Yeah, they made the playoffs.
But they still have a lot of draft picks. Number 31, I have the San Francisco 49ers trading it to the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, boy.
And the Dolphins get center out of Oregon, Jackson Powers Johnson.
Yeah,
best center in the draft.
Yeah, they need a center, especially after a Connor Williams injury. And I've seen him mock to the Dolphins at 21 as well. So, I'd be on board.
So would you be happy with those two picks?
I would absolutely. All right. You win in the trenches.
Yep. And 32, the Chiefs. Got them getting another weapon at wide receiver because that's what they do. They like to torment my life. And Ladd McConkey out of Georgia.
Now, we'll see what happens with Rashee Rice, too. So
that's true. Exactly. So that is my mock draft. We'll see how bad I do this year.
You know that one year, how many picks in a row did you get? Nine?
I got 10, 8 12? Or 9 right. Yeah, it was getting scary.
I think that was the COVID year, wasn't it? 2020?
Yeah. Yeah, I was doing really well. And I think I got like 11 out of the first 14 that I didn't hit on a single one after that. But
I have not done a book it. So this will be the J-Man's book it prediction of the week. I think at least four quarterbacks are taken in the top 10 picks. I think we see some trades. I think three for sure go. Four might be a stretch, but
who do you think slides then? Who's the one out of the four that slides out?
I think Drake May is going to slide. There's something about him that I've never been sold on Drake May. Yep. He'll be taken second now that I say that. But J-Man's book. I mean, I had a stroke.
Hold on, we got time. We got time. Slow down. Way too quick.
J-Man's book it prediction of the week is brought to you by Indiana Farm Bureau insurance agent Travis Watring, live home auto business renters, workers comp and farm insurance. Contact Travis at 219-869-4561. His email is travis.watchering@infb.com. I have no clue what came out of my mouth.
But, that's going to have to be a short on YouTube, I think.
Oh, man. We got about 3 minutes left to do my pick six here real quick. Caleb Williams.
Looks like can't miss prospect. I mean, you got Peyton Manning or John Elway, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm. Jaden Daniels.
Well, yeah, like you said, I'm interested to see if he can elevate his game because he played great against the lower level teams and not so great against the higher teams, but he won the Heisman Trophy. So a lot of pressure on the kid.
Yeah. I hope he ends up in New England. I've never been a huge J.J. McCarthy guy, but I think he's going to have a pretty good NFL career.
I think he's a winner. I think he's a winner.
Yeah. J.J. McCarthy.
Winner.
Yeah.
He's won everywhere he's been. I mean, the guy had 8 rings on the other day at the
wild.
Michigan spring game. So,
Drake May.
Reminds me a lot of Sam Howell. Now, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Sam Howell kind of did things different where he was great his freshman year. Solid sophomore, okay junior, he just kept sliding down the board.
Yeah.
The thing with Drake May, there's only 2 years of tape.
Yep.
So maybe he has this high ceiling. Maybe they're picking from his freshman year tape where he was all world. So he's a wild card there. Bo Nix.
Yeah, like I said, he's the old man of the draft for the quarterbacks, but it was amazing what he did at Oregon after he transferred from Auburn. I didn't think he'd be near the player he turned out to be. It could just be system. We'll find out, but I would not be mad if the Broncos took him.
Yeah. Last one here, Michael Penix.
Amazing what he did once he was healthy. Like you said earlier, we knew he was good at Indiana. Never knew he was going to be that good at Washington. And he looks like he's passing all the physical tests as far as injury goes. So, seems like the perfect fit for the Raiders.
Yeah. Always arm strength issues or arm strength question marks when for whatever reason that comes to left-handed quarterbacks. I mean, they had it with Tua, had it with Penix, but
he could fire the ball though.
Not really. I disagree. Oh,
okay.
On Penix. All right. Maybe that's just me. Maybe because lefties are so smooth that it looks like they're not throwing as hard. Cause I remember when Dolphins went from Fitzpatrick to Tua, people were saying that Tua catching his ball hurt their hands a lot more than it did for Fitz. So maybe it's just, maybe it's just a lefty thing. But
takes one to know one.
That's right. I got a rocket arm.
So that's, I like that list though. That's a good pick six list, which brought to you by Like It Is Every Week, Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting, Performer Print 2 Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weiberg a call at 574-210-3815. Birdie or bogey question, what quarterback has an NFL record of 41 consecutive games on the road with a touchdown?
I've already given myself a bogey. Brett Favre.
Not Brett Favre. I'll give you one more guess before I chop you with the bogey.
Aaron Rodgers.
Another good guess, but no.
I don't know why I'm stuck with Packers, guys.
I don't know either, but it is your favorite commentator, Tony Romo.
You're kidding me. That takes me. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. We'll be back at it live with another episode next Monday night. Hope everyone has a fun week. Good time watching the draft. We'll see you next week.